Hello, everybody. It is April 8th, 2009. You are listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. Nine-ish on a Wednesday night. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And we're going to the chapel.
And we're going to get married.
I think we are.
If we got married, it would kind of defeat the point.
Defeat the point of the whole story that's out there. First, let's pause for a moment and wish everyone a very happy Passover.
Happy Passover, everybody.
Becca will now sing the Passover song. Go, Becca.
No.
Okay, so happy Passover.
Yay.
Unfortunately, if you are Jewish, as I am, please be warned that this will very much be a leavened show. Because, Becca, there is so much going on right now.
There is. Actual good news.
I was actually feeling quite overwhelmed as I was preparing for tonight's show.
We're like narrowing down the good news. That's how much good news there is.
Oh, that's totally right. That's exactly how
I
felt.
We have overflow. Our cup overfloweth.
Here's where we are, folks. Here is the rundown. Last Friday, April 3rd, the Supreme Court in Iowa unanimously found that Iowa has been unable to identify a constitutionally adequate justification for excluding plaintiffs who were suing from the institution of civil marriage. So same-sex couples, according to a unanimous, keyword, unanimous, Supreme Court in Iowa, same-sex couples there can start getting married in 3 weeks. So that's Iowa.
We got to wait all the way till September.
Well, yes. Because
but I have
yes,
to get a girlfriend first.
Well, that's good. This gives you time.
Oh, yeah, plenty.
Oh, this is goal setting. This is very important. It gives you a goal. It gives you a deadline. I think it will actually help you along because
you know
that by September, this is when the drop deadline is. All right, so yesterday.
It's a lot of pressure.
Don't worry about it. We can handle it because we have a lot of listeners and maybe some out there are interested.
No.
Okay. Yesterday.
Well, maybe.
We might want to change your picture so you're not holding a gun in the website on thisshowisogay.com and intimidating people, but we'll talk about that. Yesterday, the Vermont legislature, and I'm not sure if folks know, we're in Vermont here.
We
on
are,
this show, so
in
gay.
Brattleboro.
They overrode Governor Jim Douglas's veto. He vetoed. He stood true to his word and vetoed it, and that then converted our civil union system to marriage. The state Senate voted 23-5 in favor of the override, and the House, needing 100 votes to override the veto,
had
100 votes and overrode the veto. It was 100-49. Then, this is all yesterday, Washington, D.C., their council voted unanimously to recognize gay marriages performed in other states. Now, the interesting thing about the Washington, D.C. case is that that now goes to Congress, because Congress is the group that has the final say on D.C.'s laws. So this now will be the litmus test to see how Congress feels about the Defense of Marriage Act. And then, my gosh, and then, and I actually think this is the most significant.
What's up?
I think this is the most significant of all the stories, and I'm being serious. By unanimous vote, the Columbia, Missouri City Council voted to establish a domestic partner registry for same-sex couples. Now, and opposite-sex couples who choose not to marry. Now, I know, okay, so what? How can you compare that to gay marriage? I think this is actually quite significant just because of the placement of Missouri in the country. And it's a big step for that particular state. And I think it really shows that there's a softening there because there was a poll.
Well, Iowa kind of already proved that, though.
Yes.
I mean, that came out of nowhere. I was so focused on Vermont that I didn't see Iowa coming at all.
Because one of the polls of this week was, Becca, which is more surprising news? The Iowa Supreme Court decision extending marriage rights to all state residents or the Vermont legislature's veto override?
I'm going to go with Iowa.
Yeah,
I mean,
most people
did. I had a lot of hope for Vermont.
I did too.
Though I was worried.
I did too.
I thought it was going to be a longer battle. I was kind of shocked when I heard the news. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got those last few votes.
Well, and your poll people would agree with you because they voted 70% said that Iowa was more surprising, and then 30% said Vermont was more surprising. The other poll that was out there, will the Iowa and Vermont outcomes affect the California marriage decision? Yes, no, or not sure?
No.
No, they said yes.
But we can hope
the
tide is changing. How about
that? It's very funny.
How do you feel about that?
Well,
come on. Why do you always get to ask me the questions? And I'm all putting myself out there, and Ken's all like, ha-ha, this is the real answer.
I have the questions. I think it's interesting that a lot of the sites said, oh, but how does this relate to California? who cares? I think we should actually turn our attention away from California. And when the attention is elsewhere, then California will actually be able to have a debate that's not surrounded by an election where so many people were up in arms about it because so many people were involved in this election. I think it's a good thing to turn our attention away from California. Not to say that I don't want equal rights in California. I think California is a lovely state that I will be visiting for the first time very soon.
You're going to the bad state.
To the what?
The bad state.
Have you been there?
I spent about 45 minutes in LAX once.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that counts.
We're going. Because Andrew, you know we're going, right?
Yeah, I know why you're going.
For folks that don't know, Andrew is doing the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride and is currently fundraising. So if you want to donate money to Andrew, I kind of don't
We're
going
to totally
site.
Have a link to it.
We will provide a link to
Facebook
it on our website.
Or on our website. Yeah. Both. Everywhere. But yeah, for was, now, you could...
That was a really quality shout out for about 5 seconds. And then I realized I don't know where to send them. So definitely check out our website, thisshowisogay.com. It'll be there on the homepage. And we'll also provide a link if you are not a member of our Facebook group. You can either join it by searching for The Show So Gay on Facebook, or if you just go to thisshowisogay.com and click on the contact page, there's a link right to our Facebook group. So that's all the stuff that's going on. We have much more good news to talk about. But first, I feel we should play some music. This is one of those cool shows where we get to play the music of our guest, and I rather enjoy that. So our guest tonight is chanteuse extraordinaire, Our Lady J, and we're thrilled to welcome her. And you ready for some music?
I am ready.
Let's go for it.
Design your pills if you let me design your will.
Africa, will you show us how we walk again? Africa, will you show us how we walk again?
Show us that you're working just as hard as us. Show us, with no doubt, it's in our God you trust. And I will share with you what I define myself to be. And you can have some of what the good Lord has given to me. Children dying in the arms of the plague. They're not like me who brought it on myself with my sinful ways. So I've come up with a plan. If you'll let me be your hero, we'll televise every penny we give so that in so far behind. We walk with our vices buried deep, and we walk to
That was a song called Africa by tonight's guest, Our Lady J, who we will be welcoming in, I don't know, a few minutes.
Momentarily.
So, public enemy number one out there these days, have you heard? The big gay enemy is one organization over all of the other organizations.
Yes, I get their evil email.
How did you get signed up for that, by the way? I saw that you put that on my desk or in my mailbox, and I couldn't understand how you even got involved.
Well, so it's
with
a good story.
our
nemesis, this particular organization that we'll talk about,
yes.
They had a wonderful web form that easily contacted all the representatives in Vermont House and Senate. It was pre-form letter types deal, and it said, like, vote no on gay marriage because it's evil and wrong and blah, 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 blah. So I just deleted that part and used their form against them. And then, so actually a lot of senators think I'm kind of snazzy for pulling that one off,
good.
But I accidentally automatically got signed up for their newsletter. So now I find out what the enemy is up to.
Well, they have an ad. They have an ad, and this may or may not work, but I'm going to try to play their, I mean, what other LGBT shows are going to play the ads of, the National Organization for Marriage. You ready?
But they're not really for marriage. They should be like...
They're essentially against our show.
I just think it's funny that they're like, nom. Isn't that the sound like really hungry people make?
They are very hungry. Well, they are hungry to have the gaze in the dust. I don't know what they're hungry for. All right, let's try this. You ready? This may or may not work, folks.
It's a monster noise, I'm telling you.
There's a storm gathering.
The clouds are dark. And the winds are strong.
And I am afraid.
Some who advocate for same-sex marriage have taken the issue far beyond same-sex couples.
They want to bring the issue into my life.
My freedom will be taken away.
I'm a California doctor who must choose between my faith and my job.
I'm part of a New Jersey church group punished by the government because we can't support same-sex marriage.
I'm a Massachusetts parent, helplessly watching public schools teach my son that gay marriage is okay.
But some who advocate for same-sex marriage have not been content with same-sex couples living as they wish.
Those advocates want to change the way I live.
I will have no choice.
The storm is coming.
Have hope. A rainbow coalition of people of every creed and color are coming together in love to protect marriage. Visit nationformarriage.org. Join us.
Paid for by
National. Damn, did they take our rainbow?
My God.
They took our rainbow.
I thought that was my favorite part of the whole thing. They're forming a rainbow coalition.
And they're for marriage.
Well, they're really against the gay people.
Quick, everybody join their organization. It could be 2 million for marriage right now.
We could sway this immediately. But the gay groups are getting so up in arms, and we have to fight against this ad. What are you talking about? This ad does more for the gay community than anything else because it's so absurd. He actually says, let's form a rainbow coalition. Now, here's the best part. First of all, thank you to Adam, who I called in a panic earlier tonight. Because I needed help actually playing it, and he got it to work. So
yay,
good
Adam.
Job, Adam. You are fan number one right this second. So they're flipping out, and people really want this to be addressed and pulled from the airwaves. And I say, don't pull it from the airwaves. Let it keep going. The National Organization for Marriage, which has two new members tonight, two new members of the National Organization for Marriage, the Rhode Island governor and his wife. Because apparently the Rhode Island governor...
Not a long drive from here, Rhode Island Governor.
No.
Not that I'm threatening you with violence because I can't do that and I wouldn't do that, but I can drive down there and make a nuisance of myself.
You could do that.
I can yell really loudly.
You can do that. So,
and make pretty signs with glitter.
Oh, sorry. I forgot the important part. So over on tollroad.com, TOWLEROAD.com, I didn't even see all of these audition tapes, but Adam sent them to me. So Adam was really helping out our show tonight. Way to go, Adam. You can see the cast members, the actors' audition tapes for this little infomercial.
Oh my gosh,
there.
Really?
It is brilliant. There are some just horrible people who clearly got rejected. It was, the gay people are going to, my church. It's terrible. So stroll on over there, and I hope that instead of spending money, LGBT organizations, because I know you have to spend because you're spending it on the salaries of the head people.
And glitter and poster board.
Just play. What?
You
glitter
need to make signs.
Board. Well, that's true, but
they're
I think they have
money
more
on
high-tech
these
signs than... They should just do glitter and poster boards. I think that would be effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But they should just play these audition tapes. That's what they should do. Don't spend any money. Just play the audition tapes.
I think we should one-up them, in fact. I think we should make, like, women sobbing over their babies who will now think it's okay to be gay.
My baby is a gay. That would be great.
And then I saw him playing with his sister's Barbie.
And now I need a rainbow coalition. All right, we got to play more music.
All right.
Here we go.
Too far.
I'm thinking it's time to welcome our guest.
I think you're so right.
Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
We're going to introduce you now, so you get to just sit and listen.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Only good things, we promise.
Only good things.
Mostly.
Our Lady J has been enchanting the music scenes all over the world with her divine melodies and lushly arranged covers of songs from my favorite Dolly Parton. Do you have a Dolly Parton appreciation, Becca?
like a button or a t-shirt or what?
Just
or
an just
in general?
General
sure, totally over Dolly the top. Parton. Love it.
Nine Inch Nails and Alanis Morissette, often backed by the Pink Champagne Orchestra and the 30 voice Trained to Kill Gospel Choir, who you just heard. She recently released her EP, Our Lady J, live from the Zipper Factory, and spent much of 2008 performing in the glitzy gender-bending spectacle Luster with Tony-nominated cabaret singer Justin Bond. She was also one of Out Magazine's 100 people who contributed most to American culture for 2008 in what looked like, Our Lady J, a truly fun photo shoot. Was it a fun photo shoot?
It was an amazing photo shoot. Joey was cracking me up.
Well, with all of that, and we'll talk about that, Our Lady J, welcome to This Show Is So Gay with Ken and Becca.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
All right, so now first, what do you make of all of this marriage business?
Oh, well, I'm just happy I don't have to cut myself to get married.
Nice.
Honestly, that's the rule. If you're a transsexual and you go under sexual reassignment surgery, you can get married to a man.
Yes.
If you don't go under it, then you can't get married. So,
this is good. This should be the new tagline.
Yeah.
Gay marriage, you don't have to cut yourself.
You don't have to cut yourself anymore.
That's horribly depressing.
Well, no, but this is, we're going
to... I love surgery. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, it's nice that, you don't have to go through that in order to get married to who you want to.
Well, there you go. Were you able to read all the articles yesterday and be swept up in the marriage mania?
I didn't read all the articles. I skimmed online. My computer is in the shop, believe it or not.
Oh.
And I've just been one big ball of stress. So on my iPhone, I've been reading as much as I can without wearing my eyes out.
Now, are you going through Facebook withdrawal?
I have a Facebook app for iPhone.
Okay.
So you're fine.
I don't check it. I'm already kind of going away from Facebook, more towards Twitter now.
I have not gone near the Twitter.
No, me neither.
Twittering's fun because it takes so much less time. It's like a second here, a second there, and you're done. The Facebook can consume you.
But if I do Twitter, I'm going to have to actually do work during the day.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh, I probably shouldn't say that, just in case. Don't roll your eyes. Okay, I'm not going to get fired, hopefully. All right, so some of the stories that I wanted to talk about with you in particular, one of the big stories that was out there on New York Times was, will the gays put the green back in the Big Apple? And the story was about New York City officials are turning to gays and lesbians to help reduce a projected $4 billion budget deficit. New York City unveiled a marketing campaign yesterday to attract more gay and lesbian tourists from around the country, calling it the Rainbow Pilgrimage.
You hear that, Nam? We're taking back the rainbow. And we'll just fix that little economy problem for you, too.
So, Our Lady J, if you were on this board of tourism as a New York City insider and you needed to plan a day, you were planning the ideal day for the gay day for an LGBT visitor to New York City. Walk us through that day. What should people do? Because let me tell you, the itinerary they had on there, having lived in New York City for 6-7 years, I never did any of those things. So what would you do? Walk someone through the day. Where should they go? What should they do? Who should they listen to? It's got to be you in concert at night.
Well, I guess it depends on, does that person want to get arrested or not? Because there's lots of fun things that can be done in New York, but there's lots of clean family fun as well.
No, we're not. We don't care about that. So there's two different tracks. We have the arrested route and the non-arrested route. So that's important
to
distinguish.
I'm going to go with the non-arrested route.
The legal route.
All right, so let's just say, for the sake of our family hour, we were going with the legal route. What should they do?
Well, first thing, I would go to brunch somewhere in the Village or Chelsea. 8th Avenue is also known as the runway. It's where all the queens walk and show off their new looks.
Nice.
And,
nice.
It's pretty amusing. So I'd go to brunch maybe at Vinyl. That's a cute little spot. And
I love Vinyl.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is wonderful.
One in Chelsea and one in Hell's Kitchen.
All the different bathrooms, Becca, have a different theme.
Look what you've done. You've brought Ken back to New York City nostalgia. It's like every week. It's a segment of the show now, when Ken wishes he was back in New York.
Oh, let's keep going, though. It's so enjoyable.
So have brunch.
Have brunch.
Have a mimosa, if you'd like. And then I would head off to a museum. I have a membership at the Whitney. I really like the installations that they have there. You know, they have the Met, I like, but they, once every, like, 4 months, they have, you know, a big new event happening. The Whitney, there's a big new event, seems like, once every month, so I like to go there. You could go over to the Guggenheim. I don't know.
Wow. I went to the Museum of Television and Radio a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Wow, I was the worst New York City culture person ever.
What about the Museum of Sex? Did you go?
I did. I went to the Museum of Sex.
You did go there?
I haven't been.
Oh, you must. You must.
Yeah?
I went to a lecture there, which in some way legitimized it in my own head. And my friend Ellen, who I know listens to the show, was used to work at the Museum of Sex. So I would trot over there and some fascinating stuff over there.
I went to the one in Berlin a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
And that was enjoyable. It was lots of Japanese art, which was really interesting.
Lovely. All right, so we've seen a museum. I'm thinking then we'll do the siesta. And then we got to go to dinner. Where should we go to dinner?
Not on that. Oh, dear. Relish in Williamsburg is one of my favorite restaurants. I just moved from Williamsburg to Harlem, so I haven't been there since I moved to Harlem. But it's just delicious. And it's like an old canteen-style cafe. It's really gorgeous.
Nice. And now for the nightly entertainment, what should they go pick up an HX, or should they just go find something on their own?
Oh, I love my HX, but, you know, there are lots of other fun magazines out there as well. Online seems to be the best deal these days, where you can, QueenMotherTV.com is a great one. That's Johnny and Chi-Chi LaRue.
Oh.
And, not Chi-Chi LaRue, sorry. Chi-Chi Valenti.
I think those are two different Chi-Chis.
Yeah. Johnny Donnell and Chi-Chi Valenti. And there's lots of fun queen-based things to do. You know, there's different, you know, there's the gay community, the lesbian community, the trans community, and then there's the mixed community. And that's a big reason why I liked Williamsburg, is it was really mixed out there. So if you're talking bars and clubs, I love Metropolitan Bar.
Well, I must say,
before you go to a bar, you have to go to a culture event.
Absolutely. Well, I must say, speaking of the transgender community, they're on this tourism website, which people can go check out. And we're not going to say too much about it because none of us are getting paid
them.
By them. So until we start getting a kickback, we don't want to endorse them too much. But it's nycgo.com/gay. And so one of the stops, naturally, on their tour is the Stonewall Inn. And they give a whole description of Stonewall in the pre-dawn hours of June 28th, 1969. A handful of police descended on the Stonewall Inn, and they go on and on. And what is never mentioned in the article about Stonewall?
What?
Not a darn thing about any drag queens.
Oh,
really?
That's not good, right? That's not good. And there are quotes from Christine Quinn, who's an out
It's got to be the first time ever that people overshadowed the drag queens.
No, I think it's so much bigger than that. I have to imagine that somewhere in there was a choice, because there still are so many people who have absolutely no idea that there was any trans element to Stonewall.
Well, who do you think threw the first shoe, honey?
Exactly.
Now, Sylvia Rivera was rumored to be the one.
Yeah.
You know, there were many, many strong trans women who led the movement, and I don't know. I think, you know, the whole thing that happened with ENDA, GENDA,
yes,
and all of that, I think some people think we're still a little too freaky.
It's unbelievable.
And so they like to, you know, push us in the corner while everyone else gets their rights, you know.
Like unacceptable.
Barney Frank, you know.
It truly is unacceptable. We actually had a story a few weeks ago that we didn't, I don't even remember who the guest was on that night, but it was one of the stories we didn't get to, about how Barney Frank hired a trans woman to work on in his office, and folks were just saying, oh, that's just a thrown shoe for the trans community because he just left them off of ENDA. And I don't know,
yeah,
I kind of agree. Yeah.
I agree.
So how do we fold the trans community back in? I mean, if we're going to say LGBT community, then it strikes me
we can't
should
ignore
probably,
the T.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question, honey. You know, because the T, gender is so different than sexuality.
Right.
You know, it's, some people find it a little strange that it's all clumped together in the first place, because there are gay transgendered people and there are lesbian transgendered people and there are bisexual transgendered people, just like there are gay, lesbian, and bisexual straight people.
Right.
So transgendered is not a separate thing. You know, there are straight transgendered people as well. Sexuality and gender are so different. So I don't know how we clump it all together.
But we can't keep leaving it off.
Because, you know, the issues are different as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. But, folks, you got to stop leaving off the T to get your bill passed.
That's lame.
Yeah. We yes. Mm-hmm. In our most political jargon.
Lame.
There you go.
Yeah, it's lame.
It's lame.
I mean, if you ask me, you know, the first thing at work, you know, you don't talk about who you're having sexual relationships with at work. I almost caught myself swearing. So
that's okay.
We're on the air, aren't we?
We're a little bit on the air.
You know, it's more about, I think, you know, how you present yourself, whether you align with your gender or not. You know, if you're pulling something off that's a little more feminine than your gender normally calls for, then that's, you know, a gender variant, or butch, more butch than your gender calls for. So it really seems to be, you know, what you're representing
yeah.
gender to be. So I think that's even more important. And then sexuality, of course, you know, with your family, like who your partner is, that is a big deal at work, you know, with healthcare and everything that goes along with that.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't make any sense why.
And we had, I'm sure you know, Sherry Vine on the show.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, she was.
Yeah, and she was fabulous on the show.
And we talked about one of the stories out that week was, a few weeks ago, was how the very nature of drag queens are changing. And this horrible article was saying, oh, the old drag queen is dead and long live the new drag queen who is understated. Which we thought was pretty silly, and Sherry agreed with us, so...
But I love the over-the-top.
Yeah.
I do.
I love anything over-the-top, honey. That's why I love a good gospel choir.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. It's like I gave you a script, and you just went right into our next part.
Good work.
Because that was good. We should rehearse more. We have to rehearse with our guests more. Screw spontaneity. This is more fun. I wanted to talk about the influence of gospel sounds on our music. One of our first shows that we ever did back in October was with Susan Werner, folk singer Susan Werner, who has an album called The Gospel Truth. And one of the issues we discussed was how gay and lesbian LGBT community are really looking to connect with gospel, but it's one of those music forms that inherently there's some sort of disconnect because a lot of folks associate it with some sort of condemning religion. And so it's so fantastic.
Wait, not condemning religion, but religion
that condemns. Sorry. I suppose that's a little different. So it was so great to listen to your music and hear so much gospel influence. Why gospel music? What role does that play in the music that you put out there?
Well, it's what I was raised on, you know. I'm a farm girl. I was raised in a town of 200 people on a small farm. And we went to church 3-4 times a week. In the summer, more, you know, 5-6 times a week.
Yeah.
And I was always up there at the pulpit playing that piano, sometimes the organ when Sister Kay was out sick.
Nice.
And it's just the music that I love. You know, it reminds me of home. And it reminds me of celebration of life and things that are really positive and happy. You know, it wasn't until I sat down and listened to the sermons that I started to get a little upset. But anytime I was up on that pulpit, you know, it was a lot of fun. And so it's the music that I know best. So that's why I write it.
And
I think it's important to leave out the J word, you know, because of the condemning religion.
Absolutely.
A religion that condemns. Mm-hmm. I don't mention Jesus and I don't mention God. Maybe once or twice I've mentioned God. But it's more about spirituality and it's more about the celebration of life. My music is not about religion at all. And that's, you know, what you mentioned about how gay people love gospel music but have a hard time connecting with it. And I was hearing that from my friends and friends of friends, and so that's a big reason why I went forward with pursuing gospel, so that I could create something for us to listen to that wouldn't make you cringe every time you hear the J word.
No, and we're receiving just a ton of instant messages who have been listening to the music we've been playing all night, and they're just so overwhelmingly positive. This is the part where we let you psychoanalyze yourself based on the music.
Well, we also psychoanalyze you a little bit.
We might pitch in if you get stuck.
Should I lie down on my couch?
We already assumed you were.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting at my vanity right now.
That works fine. Look at yourself deeply and tell us.
Look into your eyes
and tell us what does the song Africa. Why Africa? Tell us about that song.
That was written in response to the Bush administration's abstinence-only policy.
Yeah.
I had been reading up, and I mean, I was raised in the abstinence-only world, and I know how damaging that can be. And it's starting to show now. Studies are finding that communities that were raised in abstinence-only have a higher rate of HIV, and so it was written about that and about how a lot of our money that we were raising, you know, public funds that we were raising and private funds, and how it was allocated based on abstinence-only programs in Africa.
Yeah,
we would hold the money from these programs if they spoke about condoms, and would only give the money if they spoke about abstinence only. So it became really archaic and had to do a lot with morals, less about science. And it just summoned a rage in me that made me create that song.
Oh, it's such... And the opener, I can only imagine, I would, if I were sitting at that piano just listening to the choir sing, I feel like I would forget to start singing myself because they're so incredible to listen to.
I love them. They're brilliant. Sometimes I do forget to sing.
But it always looks intentional, so it's okay. And tell us about, we also played Picture of a Man.
Oh, Picture of a Man. You want to know where that came from?
Absolutely.
Well? That came, I was writing that, I was walking in the AIDS walk, and I started writing that, and it became it's about so many things because there are so many different words in that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great song.
But it became about, you know, an idea of health and what it is to be whole as a person in the eyes of society.
Yeah.
And it became about, you know, being okay with our mortality in order, as a means of deepening our celebration of life.
Great.
And rather than being afraid of it and not confronting it.
And people, if you have not done the AIDS walk, you should get out there and do the AIDS walk. You can meet.
So amazing.
You just can meet so many people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, so that was
not... I've got to say, your responses are pretty darn good. Have you been listening to our show? Did you know this was coming? Or are you just really self-reflective?
Well, I wrote the song, so...
Yes.
I know what they're about. And I do go to therapy.
Well, there you go.
So you have practice.
All right. So we need to cheat then a little bit now. We're gonna break the rules for one more second. So not of your own song. So if we said, Our Lady J, you may not submit any of your own songs, which one song would you have chosen to play tonight? Only one.
A cover that I sing or...
Anything. One song that just sums up how you are these days.
We just want to catch you completely off guard.
Yes.
Basically.
Oh, God. I can't do anything without my computer. I have to look at what's on my iPod. Well, I love Trent Reznor's Hurt.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nine Inch Nails. It's so, so touching. And it's one that I cover.
Have you had the opportunity to meet Dolly Parton?
I have not, but I'm hoping to because she's in town with 9 to 5.
Oh, that's right.
Word on the street is that she got a hold of a recording of my concert tribute to her, and I'm told that she liked it.
Okay, so Dolly, if you're listening,
so she's
and we
not
know,
suing you. She liked
that's
it.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Exactly.
Good to know.
Let's see. Is she going to sue me or did she like it? Oh, good. She likes it.
Yeah, exactly.
You only have so many options.
So, Dolly, if you're listening, if you're driving along. Yes. Dolly, if you're listening. Yes, please get in touch with us, Dolly, and we will then put you in touch with Our Lady J, who you should tell Right.
And we can all get together for brunch.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, in Chelsea.
Delicious.
In
Absolutely.
Chelsea. So, Our Lady J, if people are looking to hear you and learn more, what should they do? Where should they go?
Well, go to OurLadyJ.com. That will have my latest concert up, you know, the next thing that I'm doing. Also, I do have a Facebook fan page, and if you send an email, I will eventually get it to that.
Okay.
Or you can go to my MySpace page, which actually has quite a few tracks on, where you can listen to my music. That's myspace.com/OurLadyJ. And that's OURLADY and the letter J.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. And so they can get your songs on MySpace. Are you anywhere else that they can get your songs?
Any appearances that we should know about coming up?
I'm performing with Justin Bond once a week for the rest of April at Joe's Pub.
Oh.
And that's Sunday night.
That's a great venue.
Oh, I love it, and I love Justin.
That's great.
And then I'm going to England for my next big solo concert at the South Bank Centre on May 2nd. And that's going to be my big London solo debut.
Do you need us to carry your bags?
If you would like, you know. Well, Mark Morris, the choreographer, once told me that I should never carry my own luggage because I'm a pianist.
There you go. So we will do that for you.
Yeah, I don't play the piano.
Yeah, so folks, I do, but I still would carry the bags. All right, Our Lady J, it is such a treat to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Please,
folks, go check out OurLadyJ.com and all the other sites we talked about, and definitely go over to Joe's Pub and check out Our
Absolutely.
Lady J and Justin
yeah.
Bond.
And thank you so much for coming on, giving us your time.
Absolutely. I had fun. Call me anytime.
Hey, that's
We're going to take
yeah,
you up on that.
This is not the show you want to say that to, but okay.
We've got time on our hands. We live in Vermont, remember?
Oh, right. Go get married then.
All right, we're going to go right now to go get married.
We're working on it.
Our Lady J, have a most fantastic evening, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That is a song called 1, 2, 3, 4, Train to Kill by our guest, Our Lady J. I have a ton of stories to get through.
Okay,
you ready?
Go.
We're going to go on
rapid
speed.
Fire.
Yes, it's the lightning round. So even bigger than the Vermont marriage, even bigger.
Bigger?
Bigger. The White House set aside tickets to Monday's White House Easter egg roll, especially for gay and lesbian parents.
Sweet.
There was just a huge story today about this, and it was kind of cracking me up because the Bush administration also did that. So it's not that big of a story, folks, but just in the current climate, it was. But from that story, there were more comments on that story.
Oh, do we have a list of really awesome comments?
Yes, I did my list of top three gay comments.
Oh, I'm so excited.
More comments on the Easter egg roll story than the Vermont gay marriage. So the Easter egg roll got people fired up. So here's my top three. In third place, quote, "This proves that Obama is the Antichrist. Face it, Obama is gay." So there you go, because they're doing the White House Easter egg roll. Number two, "I didn't know they had Easter egg rolls in Gomorrah."
Okay.
That was a good one.
A good one.
We got to give them we give them credit. And number one, and this was the funniest
How
part.
How many of these were you, Ken?
None.
None of them were me.
I was not heckling the Obama administration with the Easter egg roll. I would have said something about matzah. I don't know what, but it would have been something about matzah. But number one, which had nothing to do with the Easter egg roll, number one, "It's not enough for these gays to get married. They also keep having sex with me at highway rest stops. When will it stop?" Now, my hope is that that person was kidding. But that
was you.
That
Come
was
on.
Not me.
That was you.
That was not me, but it was very funny.
There was no matzah in there, but there is a joke about leavening in there somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Joel Osteen, who's the senior pastor for the Lakewood Church in Houston. I think he's one of these...
Houston.
He's one of those televangelists. I think he's actually one of the big televangelists that appears on TV on Sunday mornings. And
With the flashy suits?
He does have a flashy suit and a big grin, and he's all about optimism and the power of positive thinking and love everyone and love everyone and love everyone.
Unless they're gay.
Unless they're gay, because he was on Larry King with his wife, who's the co-pastor of the church, and Larry King said, "Should a gay couple be allowed to adopt?" Joel said, "I think that, again, it's best for a male and a female. I'm not saying that gay people aren't good people, but again, I like to shoot..." This is an unbelievable statement. "I like to shoot for God's best." "And that is a father and a mother in the home. It doesn't always happen. I know a lot of people raised by single parents, and you know what? We bless them and pray for them as well. But I think God's best is a male and a female." There's something about the phrase "God's best." Dude, you're an ass. Can I say that?
No.
All right, you're a jerk.
You're a donkey.
You're a donkey. Because when you introduce the phrase "God's best," I mean, that is ridiculous.
That's, well, especially since, like,
do your best.
Known pedophiles can have children.
It's just that was it's God's best. So there was that. And then there were a couple stories we so rarely, and I'm putting my hand on my head because it annoys me that we don't talk about it, but we also don't talk about it because we pull so much of our show from the gay news, so the gay news doesn't really talk about it, about stories that have to do with HIV and AIDS. And there were a couple out there today that I wanted to draw some attention to. One was a coalition of 38 LGBT and HIV advocacy groups are calling for the removal of an 11th hour Bush administration expansion of federal rules prohibiting discrimination against healthcare workers on the basis of religion. So they submitted this 14-page letter to the Health and Human Services Department saying that the regulations give wide latitude to healthcare workers to discriminate against coworkers or patients who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or living with HIV. So we definitely want to support those 38 LGBT and HIV advocacy groups that are calling for a change there. And then the other one, more on the positive side, the Obama administration is launched a campaign today to refocus attention on HIV and AIDS. So the Department of Health and Human Services and the Center for Disease Control have announced today a new 5-year national communication campaign to combat complacency about the HIV and AIDS crisis in the United States. And just to let folks know that this is not something that we are over in this country, the CDC data shows that every 9.5 minutes, another person in America becomes infected with HIV. About 56,000 Americans become newly infected with HIV each year, according to the data released last year. These figures were significantly higher than in previous reports, and each year more than 14,000 people die of AIDS and AIDS-related diseases.
Ugh.
So this is very much an issue that we are embedded in and one that we really need folks to fight for. So get out there, do the AIDS walk. I guarantee that by the time this podcast is posted, there'll be a link to Andrew's page.
There better be.
There will be. There will be. So if you want to donate $5 or $10 to Andrew's page, I think actually the minimum might be $20, $25, but maybe forward it to some friends. I mean, that's the big thing. If folks don't have a dollar or two to give right now, everyone understands the economy is not... it's not good. So instead, forward it to 20, 25 more people, because maybe one of them is able to fork up the funds because they're in a position where they can. So the
right,
answer
I'll
is...
forward that right to you, Ken.
There you go. The answer is not to do nothing. We understand that people are being hit hard, but to do something and forward it to other people, because they might be able to donate money, but they also might learn a thing or two about what's going on with HIV and AIDS in the country right now.
And that's kind of the ultimate goal, is to raise awareness.
I'm so looking forward to going out to California. So I'm not doing the ride. Andrew's doing the 540-something mile ride.
Complete insanity.
Yes.
Of a bike ride.
I am working on the food service crew. I'm working on the food service crew, so I'll be serving breakfast and dinner. And the best part is I get to wear jammies. So.
Oh, I was going to ask if you're going to get a tux.
No. I get to wear jammies, much as I wear for our show. So I will provide a link there, and folks can learn more about the Life Cycle Ride. And you should also check out New York City's AIDS Walk, because it's just a great day. It's a really low-maintenance commitment, and you meet all these other people, and it's a great, great day. So that's, I think, all the stories that I wanted to cover. What do you got going on over there? Anything you want to share with the group?
Nothing new. Right. I mean, I think we kind of squeezed all of our news in.
We squeezed a lot of stories in there. So
I just want to know if Andrew's going to be wearing a This Show Is So Gay, you know, bike shorts or something.
Ooh. That should be a patch on his bike shirt so that
can we make his actual bike the Pink Disco?
Yes.
Sparkly?
I will. And he's away right now. So I will run back to the house and paint the bike pink and attach a little disco ball. Maybe he won't even notice.
Nah.
I cannot express to you the degree to which he would kill me if he came home and saw that. Seriously,
this is what happens when you're not here.
This is why you don't go away. No. I will paint your bike pink, and you will support our show. But I will absolutely bring some magnets with us and maybe build some more listeners out there in California.
You better bring those business cards.
Yes, I will do that. So if folks want to get in touch with us, there's so many ways to do it. First off, if you're not subscribed to us on iTunes, well, you probably are because that's how you're listening to the show, but maybe tell somebody else about it. And that can be found, the link to the iTunes can be found right on our homepage of thisshowissogay.com. We should probably be saying at the beginning of each show that during our actual live show, and yes, we're broadcasting right this very
live.
Second. We actually do broadcast live. You can always instant message us. Our screen name is This Show Is So Gay. It's either me or Becca manning the instant message, and we respond to you. It's a nice little distraction from whatever the chaos is in the station. So
absolutely. If you're within 5 blocks of Main Street in Brattleboro, you can absolutely tune in to 107.7 FM.
And we will say again, as we've been saying for the past couple of weeks, WVEW, we are supported by community radio. It's so important to us. Yes, Becca and I could go over to one of our houses and set up a mic and create this whole podcast and have our guests call in. But we make a very deliberate choice, and it's really important to us to be on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio, because we believe in the power of community radio.
We love them.
Yes, we believe in grassroots organizing. And so they are in the middle of their spring fundraising drive. So if you want to stroll on over to WVEW.org, you can donate $5, $10 and help support not just our show, but all the other shows that are out there. So we very much believe in community radio. It's a great way to get your voice out there. So
even ours.
Even ours. Even ours.
Go figure.
Go figure. So that's pretty much all that's going on. We want to tell people to have a very gay week.
And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?